Amen. The events of this week that we've all seen on the news have really highlighted our need for Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Our nation needs Christ. And the ministry of reconciliation. I appreciated Sean sharing the Lord's table and how it really shows our fundamental need for Christ, for His love, His grace, and His redeeming power. And how can the Lord use us amidst what's going on in society today? It was interesting to me as I was studying in this series that I'm doing on the full armor of God, how this week's message really applied to what is going on in our society and how we need to put on specific pieces of God's armor to help us to be those ministers of reconciliation that God calls us to be. To put on the full armor of God so that we can remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood. That we can help to bring people together and be those ministers of reconciliation. It really points out why we need the full armor of God. Each of these pieces has a purpose to it and how we can be those ministers of reconciliation. So I'd like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." God calls us to be strong in Christ, not in ourselves, but to be strong in Him. It says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against people because of their skin color. Amen. The Lord calls us to be spiritually aware that we are in a spiritual battle, and we're talking about spiritual victory here. We're never talking about victory over another human being. We're talking about spiritual victory. And the victory is guaranteed, but we still have to fight the good fight of faith. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." When the day of evil comes. We've seen the day of evil come to our nation. It's not if the day of evil comes, it's when the day of evil comes. And for us as true disciples of Christ, we need to know that the enemy will attack us. On that day of evil, on the day of greatest attack, on that day of onslaught, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to stand. We need to put on the full armor of God, commit whatever matter we're dealing with into the Lord's hands, and stand in Him. Stand in His victory. We need to learn to fight confident of the victory with Christ in our heart and our eyes on Him. Right now, Satan himself, the enemy, is attacking our nation. And the Lord calls us, Christians, true disciples of Christ, to be those ones that will be alert soldiers, that we will be ready soldiers, that we will be alert to what is happening, what the enemy is trying to do to destroy our nation, that we will be alert ministers of reconciliation, that we will not be deceived, but we will understand what the enemy is trying to do. It's very important that we as Christians, as disciples of Christ, that we not get caught up into the feed into the fleshy fighting that is going on between people, but that we fight spiritually, that we learn to fight with spiritual alertness, that we learn to fight not with fists and knives and guns, but we learn to fight with words of faith, hope, and love. That we learn to fight with righteousness, joy, and peace toward others. That we be ones that are others-focused in helping others through the attack. And how do we do this? We only do this by preparing through our relationship with Christ and studying God's Word to be that kind of servant leader, to be ones that are helping others, to be those ministers of reconciliation. We are called to stand. Verse 13 again says, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." This standing is an important military posture. We're called to stand and see the victory of the Lord, to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Our salvation, our saving, is our most fundamental victory. It's the most important victory that the Lord has done in our lives. And so it's important for us to learn to stand confident amid the victory. The Apostle Paul here compares our armor to the Roman foot soldier to show how we are to be equipped to fight the good fight of faith. And he calls us, first of all, to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. This belt of truth, it represents the truth of the gospel and the truth of character. I know with the boys at Living Grace Christian School, I tell them they have to wear a belt, that they got to tuck their shirts in, that a man has got to keep his pants up. It's very important to keep your pants up. Well, a tightened belt means that this soldier is ready for action. His shirt is tucked in. His armor is fastened together. It helps everything to stay together. And so this relates to truth, integrity, character, and honesty. So boys, keep your belts on. Keep your shirts tucked in. Keep your armor fastened together. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." When we come to Christ, that means Christ lives in us. That means Christ is growing in us. And so Christ is truth. His truth is growing in us. We become characterized by truth, and that is Christ's character within us. And that's what wins. It's not physical force that wins, or fists or guns that win, but it's Christ's character that wins. And saying the truth regarding sin. When we say the truth regarding sin, when we say the truth regarding our own sin, we're walking in Christ's grace, humility, and forgiveness. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives." Sometimes I like to analyze some of these situations that happen in the news and so forth. And it seems like our legal system is set up in such that one person is declared totally innocent, another person is declared totally guilty, and so forth and so on. When we all need to remember to recognize our sin, that we all have sin, and none of us is without sin. And confession is saying the truth about our sin. The Lord gave confession to say the truth about our sin. When we say the truth about our sin, when we admit our sin, we are forgiven. We're given a new start, and we are in right standing with God. It says in verse 14, "With a belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place." That is the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. It's really God Himself. Isaiah 59:17 says that Christ put on righteousness as His breastplate. Again, this speaks to godly character, the character of Christ in us. We become the righteousness of Christ. It has to do with dealing rightly, working fairly with others. The breastplate of righteousness. We had many songs today that had to do with the authority of the Lord. He reigns, the Most High God. We need to pray for a return to righteous, ultimate authority of the Most High God. The righteous, ultimate authority of the Most High God. There are three institutions that Scripture says have been ordained by God. These institutions are the authority of parents, the authority of the church, and the authority of the government. We need to pray for respect for parents. We need to pray for parents requiring their young people's obedience. We need to pray for respect for the church. There is nothing more powerful than a father and a mother and their children consistently worshiping God and serving the Lord together in the church. We need to pray for respect for the governing authorities. Often, those governing authorities are represented by the police. We need to respect the authority of the police. At the same time, in order for authorities to walk in authority, they need to be under authority. One of the basic principles of being able to give authority is that one has to be squarely under authority. I'm a PE teacher. I know that if I have one of the students that isn't quite under my authority and I'm not fully confident in his handling authority, and I give him the job of leading the kids in calisthenics, doing jumping jacks and so forth, the class will end up in chaos. But if I give that job to someone who's learned to walk under my authority, they can conduct and they can handle that authority in a balanced way. And so in order for authorities to walk in authority, they need to be squarely under authority. Parents, church leaders, and governing authorities, we need to recognize that our authority comes from the Most High God. Police need to be walking squarely under their police chiefs and under their police commanders who train them in how to use their authority and not be renegades that use their authority in destructive ways. The Lord abhors all extremes. There needs to be a balanced use of authority. I've always remembered how my dad has defined authority. The word authority has the root word of author. And an author creates something. An author writes a book, perhaps writes a novel. An author creates something. An author creates life. And so the purpose of God's authority, the purpose of parents' authority, the purpose of church authority, and the purpose of the governing authorities, including the police, is ultimately to author life and not death. So we need to have a balanced view of authority. We need to respect authority, and at the same time, the authorities need to be walking under authority. And of course, God is the Most High authority. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. This has to do with purity. Ephesians 5:3 says, "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." At Living Grace Christian School, the standard of talk is Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but to build each other's up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So instead of unrighteous talk, we have righteous talk characterized by thanksgiving. Look at verse 15. It says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Think of a Roman soldier's boots. A Roman soldier's boots. We got a little Roman here. All right. I wonder if he's got these kinds of boots. I'm sure he does. In the movie Glory, about an all-black regiment in the Civil War, one of the soldiers, as he's being trained and they're getting ready, but they're getting a little bit frustrated because it seems like they're not able to go to battle. One of the soldiers goes AWOL, and he looks like a deserter. But then Colonel Shaw checks with a respected member of the regiment. And this respected man of the regiment says, "Boots, sir. He wants to fight. He was out looking for boots." Soldiers need good boots. Soldiers march off to battle. They spend a lot of time on their feet marching to battles and moving around and going over tough terrain. Soldiers are on their feet in battle. Soldiers need secure footing. Soldiers need traction to be able to fight the good fight of faith. And so this traction that we need and this spiritual battle that we are in. This traction is boots, our feet, our shoes that are fitted with the readiness from the gospel of peace. That's what we need. God has peace for you amid the battle. And it's not just for you. God wants you to be ready with boots of peace that you can be those ministers of reconciliation wherever you are, in your neighborhoods, in your communities, in your schools, in your places of work, where we can be those ministers of reconciliation, allowing for peace in our relationships and helping others in this way. God calls us to be the eye of the storm, the calm in the middle of the battle. You may feel as if storms are all around you. But as we sang the song this morning, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. These feet are feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This piece of armor is so important in the wake of what is happening in our society. What happens in Minnesota and Louisiana affects the community of Dallas, and it can affect our community. We need to be going out of our way, every single one of us. We need to be going out of our way to be ministers of reconciliation in whatever opportunities that we can see. We need to be alert. We need to be ready. We need to be spiritually attuned. If we see someone came up to our door amidst all this happening. They dropped off a package. I looked out. He was an African-American delivery man. I opened the door. I was sure to look him in the eye. I said, thank you. We need to be doing little things like this, doing whatever we can to promote goodwill among society and different peoples. We need to be going out of our way. Whenever we cross paths with persons that are not of our ethnicity, we need to communicate acceptance, kindness, and gratitude. We need to remember that we are in a spiritual warfare. Our warfare is not against other people. It's about our growth spiritually. It's about our growth in godly character so that we can be prepared to know how to approach the larger cultural battles and be ministers of reconciliation. With the hostilities this week, these feet are ones that are able to break down the dividing walls of hostility between different peoples. These feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to be ready. We need to be alert to be these ministers of reconciliation. We got to have our boots on, boots of peace, so that we can be soldiers of peace. We must be ready in our communities, in our neighborhoods, on our football teams, in our workplaces to be ministers of reconciliation, ready to help people, doing whatever we can, praying for people, promoting goodwill, facilitating dialogue, reasoning together, praying for revival for our nation, a move from God. Let's turn back a couple chapters to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll show you where this is in Scripture. Ephesians 2:14. It says, "For Christ Himself is our peace." We need Christ, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit, the pillar of peace. God wants to break down the dividing walls of hostilities between different peoples. Notice I'm not saying different races, because biblically speaking, we are of one race. Our skin color is exactly that. It's simply skin deep. Now, we need to be sensitive to the history of what different peoples have been through. But we need to remember that, biblically speaking, as Christians, we are one race. And I'll prove it to you from Scripture as well. But before we go into that, a pillar of Northgate Community Church is the bond of peace. The bond of peace. That comes from Ephesians 4:3, which says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When there is fleshy conflict happening between peoples, Satan is winning in people's lives. When the Lord is using us to bring peace to others, Christ is winning in our lives. Verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's peoples and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too, all of us, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. From all nations, I'll use the word nations, from all nations, we are being built together to be a house of prayer. From all nations, we are being built together to be a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We are a house of prayer for all nations. No matter our ethnicity, we are able to walk in peace with one another. Biblically speaking, we are one race. Our skin color is just skin deep. While we need to be sensitive to what people have had to endure historically, we are one race. As Christians, we become one race, one holy race, one royal priesthood, one people belonging to God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And why does the Scripture say this? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual victory that Christ has won for us. This is why we have to put on this full armor of God. This is why we have to be ready with things like those boots of peace every day, so that we can be ministers of reconciliation in our society, so that we can not just sit idly by to what everything that's going on, but wherever we are, I was asking the Lord, how can I make a difference this week? Each one of us need to ask how we can make the difference, how we can make a difference wherever we are and be in those ministers of reconciliation. Like us all to stand. Next time we'll talk about the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Isaiah 55:12 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. This is a picture of righteousness, joy, and peace. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. We have the keys. We have the keys to the kingdom. These are the keys. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord calls us to communicate these keys to a hurting world, showing the sacrificial love of Christ. By the leading of the Holy Spirit, let's be ministers of reconciliation wherever we are. Father, I just thank You for Your word, Lord God. Father, we determine every day to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. We determine every day, Lord God, to make a difference where we are, in our places of work, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, on our sports teams, wherever we are, Lord God, in our conversations, Lord God. Lord God, going out of the way, promoting goodwill, facilitating dialogue, bringing truth, abhorring all extremes, not being in this extreme camp or that extreme camp, but coming to the balanced middle, Lord God. Walking under authority and being able to give authority in a balanced way, Lord God. Help us to be those ministers of reconciliation, Lord God. Help us to have those boots of peace that are ready, Lord God, that have good traction, Lord God, that we're ready and we're alert, Lord God. Help us not to get caught up into fleshy fights and arguments, Lord God, but help us to be spiritually alert, to be those ministers of reconciliation, to make a difference in our world, Lord. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 So we're going to have practice for Vacation Bible School. Any kids that want to stay, have a great day in the Lord.